welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 74. I am Jeff.
I'm Chris.
Oh yeah, and I'm joined by Chris. I was like waiting for myself to respond. Yeah, it's just joined as always by Chris. That was Chris. We're not going to beat around the bush here. Very big kicking off of like the summer blockbuster season. Also probably one of the bigger movies ever made. We're here to talk Batman vs. Superman. If you haven't seen it yet, we're going to do kind of a quick spoiler-free like review at the beginning here, and then just we're going to dig in and get into the nitty-gritty of what makes this thing work or doesn't. All right, so I feel like it's almost pointless to go into the plot, but all right. Basically, this movie, it's Zack Snyder, once again, who did Man of Steel, and it acts as kind of semi-sequel to Man of Steel and also set up for a Justice League movie. And the plot, while convoluted, is kind of basic. It's Batman hates Superman because Superman could kill all of Earth with his amazing powers. And in the wake of the destruction that happens at the end of Man of Steel, you know, Batman, he thinks he's dangerous, as well as a lot of other people think that Superman could be dangerous. Superman hates Batman because he's a vigilante, or he does not.
I don't know about hate.
They don't like each other. Yeah, they make no bones about it.
I think your explanation of Batman against Superman makes sense. Yes, I'm not sure Superman hates Batman, but
Superman, he dislikes him. He disapproves of him. He wants to do stories about him in the Daily Globe?
The Daily Planet.
Daily Planet. About how, you know, there's this vigilante bat over in Gotham/New Jersey. At least that's how I picture it in my mind. It's New York.
We'll get into that.
That's the basic, you know, thing driving this movie. And then you have Lex Luthor in there kind of prodding the two towards a fight that they were probably going to get into anyways. It is, in my opinion, it's an hour and a half of really disjointed nonsense, including really terrible dream sequences, and then about an hour of fighting at the end, long after you might have checked out about caring about this movie. I really do think that this movie is a mess, that it just kind of is trying to cram way, way too much in there. It's trying to do the work that Marvel did over a handful of movies in one movie. And it gives that feel of a movie with too many things going on, with too many villains. It really, to me, felt a lot like Amazing Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man 3, where it was just like, we're throwing everything in the kitchen sink in here and hoping it sticks. And on top of that, I found the movie to be really dull and kind of a drag for a lot of it, and a downer throughout. There's like so little joy going on in this movie. Rounding out the superhero cast, you also have the addition of Wonder Woman in here, who I felt like she was cool, but like you didn't ever learn anything about her. I didn't know anything about her going in. I knew nothing coming out of it. And of course, they have like weird, just some weird parts where they're trying to introduce other Justice League characters that they're going to show up later. And it's nothing significant, but it sticks out like a sore thumb when they try to.
I mean, if I criticize anything about this movie, it's that. We'll get to it, because that's some garbage right there. That was an after credit sequence that they stuffed into like the middle third of the movie,
and it's really weird. And I almost like didn't know what the hell was going on, and then I was like, oh wait. Is that like the one cyborg guy? I had no idea what that was. There's just like
that's his name, Cyborg.
Yeah, but I had no. I just was like, what am I watching? I'm watching like a robot getting tortured or something here. Like, and I have no frame of reference. I have no idea what's going on. I finally figured out what they were trying to do when I saw Aquaman, because I have an idea of like what Aquaman looks like.
They showed the Flash first, right? Like.
Yeah, but I had no, I didn't know.
So, yeah, that's why I think that's an after credit sequence.
It's really
does not fit where it plays.
it's jammed in there. I feel like a lot of things feel jammed in there. This movie kind of reeks of rewrites and re-edits. And all right, so it's kind of my thoughts on it. I really thought that this movie was really disappointing and not a whole lot to like. The title fight between the two characters was pretty good. But it comes to a ridiculous conclusion, which we'll get into when we do the spoilers. But yeah, I just found this to be a disjointed, joyless mess. I didn't like it at all. And the friend I went to see it with, he's not much, he's not like a movie critic or anything. He just wanted to see the movie too, and he's like, "Come on, it can't be that bad." And as we were driving home, he was like, "That was not good." I was like, "I know." And we started picking it apart, like specific details, which we'll get into. And I started looking up reviews and stuff afterwards. I'm like, "Yeah, a lot of people kind of touched on the same things we did on the car ride on the way home." So it's things that stuck out to your average moviegoer that makes me wonder how Zack Snyder and the creative team behind this did not take a step back and go, one, we need to cut a lot of out of this movie. It's a long movie. It's 2.5 hours long, over 2.5 hours long, with so many points that are so clearly like easy to cut, where you go, that doesn't need to be in here. That doesn't need to be in here.
Yeah, well, I think that the film itself is overproduced, and I'm not sure that's Snyder's fault. I th this a lot of it kind of reeks of filmmaking by studio exec. Like
Absolutely.
we like I mean, you kind of said it. Like they're trying to do what Marvel did over the course of like Iron Man and Incredible Hulk and Thor and Captain America.
I
Up
think
until like
they're
you get to the Avengers, like finally, like you get there, and this is trying to do it, like let's do it all at once, like.
I do think that they're giving Zack Snyder an impossible task, but I think he does nothing to help it. I think he's talented on a technical level, but I think he fundamentally misses the point of some of these characters, I think. And he just, just as long as stuff looks cool and everything is grim and dark, then he's happy. And he's missing the point of some of this. I think that Superman especially comes off as disinterested in helping people besides Lois.
Yes, he
He seems
does.
very self-concerned, and that's just not, I don't think that gets, I'm not like a huge Superman fan, but I don't think that gets to the heart of who his character is. I think he did a much better job with Man of Steel, which I know a lot of people also did not like. I liked it, but I think Man of Steel, one thing that makes it better, it was telling a clear story that had a point. And I mean, we'll get into it in this. I don't think that anything that happens here has much of a point. Like, there's no real reason these two should be bashing heads as much as they are. I think that Lex Luthor's both motivations and like, I think like. I'm baffled by Lex Luthor, like what he was trying to do, and also the fact that most of what he was trying to accomplish would have happened anyway without his input. So I just, it's a mess, man. I didn't like it at all. I don't think I will ever watch it again, honestly. Which is like, these are, I really love Batman, so for me to say that, like, it missed the mark, and it did it with a lot of people. But I want to hear your thoughts, Chris. I know you're a little more, or maybe a lot more positive on this, so I want to hear.
Yeah, I think I'm a lot more positive.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna go see this movie again, like willingly.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I was gonna go see it anyway. A huge Batman fan,
Yeah.
and maybe I come at it from a very different take. I don't like Superman as a character. I never have. I enjoyed Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Like outside of like Superman 1 and 2 as movies, like, and I saw those as kids, so I have like a nostalgic factor to them. I'm not a Superman fan. Like I find him to be a boring character. I found him to be very interesting in Man of Steel. I think this continues that in an interesting way. This is not the Superman that we know from our childhood. This is not Christopher Reeve by a long stretch.
Yeah.
But this is a Clark Kent. This is a Superman that is unsure of himself, He's like in Man of Steel, he's literally only been Superman for like a day. Like he becomes Superman and like shit happens, shit goes down. He's coming into his own. He's just starting to learn how to use his powers publicly at that point. In this one, you're about 18 months later, I think. I think they specifically call that out. So a year and a half later, he's had nothing but like beratement by the government and the media. I mean, I don't as a person, which I think is something that everyone is always critical about with Clark and Superman, is that oh well, so the difference between Batman and Superman, what I've always heard is that Bruce Wayne is Batman's mask, and Superman, is Clark's mask. Like Clark is the human, Batman is the like inhuman kind of driven guy. Like his human side, the one that he presents to the world, is not his real side. Like Superman is literally Clark.
You're all right, so you're saying Clark is like the real him, and but for Bruce Wayne, he's more the bat. Is
Yes,
that what you're okay?
he is the bat. Like there is no shutting the bat off.
The
Like
Playboy thing is all of
it's an
an
act. Yeah, I
act.
mean it's an act in the Nolan universe. It's like,
Yeah.
in this, like, I mean, as a human, like if you're under that much constant beratement and you're new to this, you haven't been the lifelong hero, I could see you kind of being like, I don't know, and maybe I am going to be a little bit selfish and save my girlfriend. There are issues that we will touch on with
Yeah.
that, like, but I kind of like that type, like that, you know, he's not the symbol for hope yet. Like he hasn't hit that point.
Okay.
So I enjoy that side of him, and I enjoy Batman here. Like I really do. I like the Batman that has he is I mean they specifically call it out. He's been fighting crime for 20 years.
Yeah.
In this, he has given up on humanity. He hates he does not believe that there are good things left. He's broken.
Okay. I like the idea of that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that the film ever really says it or earns it. He just, like, all of a sudden he'll kill people and he just doesn't care. Like, they say he's been fighting for 20 years.
I mean, I think you get that though with his brutality that like,
Yeah,
and
but there needs to be a moral dilemma about it where he's like, well, or at least a mention of it. Maybe Alfred says, like, dude, you should not, you're taking stuff too far. He's like, I don't care anymore. Something. I don't know.
But
Like,
I mean he's past that point. Like
I
it's
guess.
yeah, like it's and I think that's where people have a problem with it, is he's well past the point of no return. He's broken. He's not this isn't the Batman that's beginning to break, it's a Batman that broke. Like this is a brutal, cruel Batman that does not he has no like he's working on rage. He is full of rage, and that's all he's working on. And I get people don't like that. Like that's fine.
I have no problem with that. I actually find that interesting and everything. I just don't think that the movie presented it as well as it should have.
Sure. I can
It
see
could have
that.
done better. Yeah.
I mean, also coming in, knowing the source material that it pulls from, like I just have a different context for it as well. So like I get some of that. Like yes, from a film perspective maybe they don't pull it as well, but I understand what they're trying to pull here and like I appreciated that.
Yes, but they are pulling from different source material to make this movie, right? Like, there was no
But
Batman versus Superman.
then no they're like they're, so that particular point is specifically pulled from a it's an offshoot, it's not a regular line, but it's a like a graphic novel called The Dark Knight Returns, or Dark Knight, I think it's Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, the Frank Miller.
It's Frank Miller, where kind of Superman, it's set in the future. Batman's old, Superman's old. Superman has kind of become this like totalitarian leader, like almost like a dictator type thing, where he's like, you know, lords over everything, and Batman wants to put a stop to it. It's Batman and Superman fight, and there are other instances of Batman and Superman fighting in comics, so this isn't something new. Like
Yeah.
they have gone up against each other in the past for differing reasons. But yes, so Snyder pulls parts from that. It's not, it's not verbatim for sure. But it's that kind of take on Batman and his outlook on life. I don't know. I enjoy Jesse Eisenberg. He's ridiculous. Like there is, you mentioned it. There is zero inclination of what his real motivations are.
Yeah,
It's not put forward very well. Like, why is he doing this? Like, other than towards the end, you start to get like a little more feel of the classic Lex, like of, he doesn't like Superman. He wants to put an end to him. But you don't, there's like
yeah, but
really
it's like,
zero reason
why?
for that
Yeah.
early on. And you only kind of get those suppositions about Lex later in the film when at that point it doesn't matter because everything's already set in motion.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to glean them yourself too. It's like, okay, well, he's kind of acting a little more like normal Lex, maybe also like the Joker. I don't know why he's doing that,
Well, it's like, I get it, okay? He doesn't like Superman, but then why? Because he does come off way more like the Joker, someone that wants to watch the world burn. And
right.
it
And
gives a really weird, affected performance that's, not 100% accurate, but.
that's when you're like, I mean, a lot of people are saying there's no fun in this. Like every time he came on screen, I was like, this is so weird. It's like, I love it. It's so goofy. It's such a different take on him. It makes zero sense, but I enjoy it. Like, so I look at a lot of these comic book movies and hey, newsflash, a lot of the shit in comic book movies makes zero sense. So, and a lot of villains are bad. And their motivations are generally bad. I'm not sure what Lex's motivations were. I don't know. I don't know why he was trying to set this up. And that's at the end. It is like, he definitely does twist everything here to set that up. But let's see. What else? I enjoyed the action. I for most of it, I don't enjoy the final fight. I think it's overly produced, overly CG. It's weird. It's goofy. But I enjoy the actual Batman versus Superman fight. I thought there was a pretty cool Batmobile sequence. There's a really cool scene after the Batman Superman fight that Batman is involved in that was, it might be the best depiction of action Batman ever. I was entertained, and that's generally what I go into these films looking for, and I left entertained. I don't know. I don't. A lot of people are like, "Oh, there's no joy in this." I don't mind that there's no joy here. Like, I often think that maybe the Marvel movies are a little too joyful. I like this as like the anti-Marvel movie. In a lot of ways,
Gotcha.
it's something completely different.
I'm with you on that. That's the thing. I'm with you that I feel like the Marvel movies are a little too light, like a little too, inconsequential
For like
feeling.
for shit that like, hey, for all the shit that Snyder gets for what happens in Man of Steel, the fucking Avengers destroy fucking New York. There's like, all right,
Yeah, same
Iron
deal.
Man 3 touches on it, but like they fucking destroy New York in the Avengers, and then they basically destroy a small country in the Avengers 2. And it's like, and I know that they're building up the Civil War with that, but it's like, everyone's fucking happy in that movie.
Well, I my problem is not it being dark. I like dark material, but there's good and there's bad, in my opinion. And like, look at the Nolan Batman trilogy. Those were all pretty dark, but I think that the writing and everything in those movies was way better.
I'm not disputing that the writing in the movies is, but like there are there's certainly writing issues in this movie. There's script issues like throughout, but I don't know. I go in and I asked to be entertained and I left entertained. I was never bored. Like, I heard a lot of criticisms of being bored in the movie. I know you said that, like,
I was.
there were
Oh, yeah.
kids that, like, you yourself were bored. You said there were kids that were bored in the movie.
They were talking and playing in the aisle.
My
They're
son
little
was like,
kids.
my son was like riveted, and the only time, like, he was like, who is that? Like, when, like, if he didn't know who a character was, like,
When they're throwing like 30 characters at you at once, and you're like, what's going on here? Like, oh God.
And then, like, he did ask me, like, well, why is there peach tea on why does she have peach on land?
That's a fantastic scene,
Not
actually.
peach tea. Like, yeah. And I mean, I think there are things that are sloppy. We're gonna get into that
Oh,
definitely
yeah.
more. But I don't know, I came away and, like, I liked it. I will watch it again. I will probably buy it and watch it again at home. I've really liked Ben Affleck as Batman. I think he's came off very, very, very good. I never was
Yeah, I
one of
was never
those
in
that was like
doubt.
a doubter. Like, I don't understand, like, this hate for Ben Affleck. Like, yes, he made some bad movies. Guess what? Lots of actors make some bad movies.
He's made some really amazing films too. Like,
Right.
I actually looked up my tweet from when the day they announced him as gonna play Batman, and I was like, how will Ben Affleck ever play a rich, flawed person? Like,
Right. Like, how will he ever play himself?
yeah, essentially, yeah.
Like, this is, I mean, it is on par with casting of Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. Like,
Yeah, it's great. He did great in it. Like, I like him more than Christian Bale, and I love those movies, but like, he feels the role, and he looks, dude, he's got like kind of like a bulkness about him that looks how he looks how Bruce Wayne is drawn in the animated series almost. He's just got the
Yeah,
real
like the
broad bike.
broad shoulders and, like, yeah, like just like a beast looking. I enjoy Henry Cavill in the role of Clark and Superman. I think that there's a problem here with this movie, and that it's more a sequel to Man of Steel than it is anything else. But Superman is given very little to do. Cavill is kind of in a holding pattern for much of the movie. Like, his character isn't given much development at all,
Yeah.
if anything. But I enjoy Cavill. I think he looks the part. Like, fucking awesome looking. Like, that scene that's in the trailer. Every scene, mind you, is in the trailer. It's in a trailer for this movie. So, if you don't want to pay, your $12 to go see it, just go online and watch the 27 trailers that are out there, because the entire movie is out there. But yeah, I think he looks amazing when in that Batmobile sequence when he kind of clips the car. He looks amazing through most of it.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot.
Gadot? Gal Gadot?
I
I've heard
want
her
to
name.
say it's Gal Gadot, but somebody said it's an Israeli name, and the T is still pronounced, so it's like oat, I guess. Gadot, I don't know.
I've heard it pronounced different
Yeah,
ways. I think that it's still
I've been
there.
pronouncing it Gal Gadot for, like, since she was cast, and then somebody said the other day it was Gal Gadot. I'm like, I don't know. But I thought she was fine. I mean, you mentioned that you don't know anything about her going in.
So
There's a
underused.
little bit there that we, I mean,
Oh,
we learn a little bit about her.
not enough, dude. She's
Sure.
underutilized. And
Sure,
she's
for
not in it
sure.
enough. She's not in it enough. Like,
And she's, like, when she's on screen, she's fantastic.
yeah.
Like, if there's anything I like about the final battle, it's her.
Her and her lasso, she was a shining light for me, for sure.
And, like, her sword, she's great. Like, the action
She has a
sequence.
goofy theme that, like,
Yeah,
sticks.
the weird rock theme, like, it's like, what? Like, it's like this weird kind of, like, I mean, she's an Amazon, like, so I guess it's like an Amazonian type feel to it, but, like, almost like a Xena warrior princess kind of a.
No, I dig her.
It's cool.
I think the cast too. I like the whole cast. Even Jesse Eisenberg, who I think his performance is a little like,
It's
I don't
weird.
think it's his fault. I don't think it's his fault. Like, he's a good actor, but I did not like him in it. But But other than him, no, the whole cast, like, and I like Henry Cavill as Superman. Like you said, he looks just like him. I just feel like they all deserved better than this.
Sure. I mean, I think being probably, I mean, I know you're a Batman fan, but
Yeah.
just like being more into like in the comic books, having like read some of this stuff, like it was cool for me to see a lot of this stuff on screen. And I mean, I've said since like I texted you, like I was like, it's flawed.
Yeah.
But I, for me, like the those bad parts that I think, like I think for me, there was more good to it. I understand the other side of it though, fully.
And I could see how someone who knows the source material more could go past the bumps in this movie easier, like get past it a little bit more, because they kind of, oh yeah, that's that, that's what that is, that's what that is. But I mean, at the end of the day, the movie has to stand on its own,
Sure.
and dude, this, like, it really is, it's, for me, it's the bottom of the barrel of superhero movies. It's nearly as bad as stuff that we used to get back way back in the day. To me, it's like it's verging on like Batman and Robin type crap. I wouldn't go that far, but it's, dude, like, I it's gonna it's already in the same category almost, but as time goes on, I think that it's gonna be remembered kind of how Spider-Man 3 was, which was like a spectacular disaster of a movie. It's already like got the reviews for that, but I think as time goes on. That's what I joked to you yesterday. I'm like, you're still in shock, man.
Right.
Just wait till the shock wears off and you're gonna be like, oh no.
It's funny because, like, I mean, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan too, and that was a movie I came out going, like, what the fuck? Like, just, what the fuck?
I came out of Spider-Man 3, I came out of going, I don't know, it wasn't as bad as, like, you know, there was that goofy dance part that he did. But otherwise I was like, ah, it's okay. They're trying to do a little too much. But more recently, Amazing Spider-Man 2 made the same mistakes, and that movie, oh my God, from the first, have you ever seen Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Did. It's another movie where I don't hate it, but
It's a wreck. It's a train wreck, man. It's just that feels like an old superhero, like the stuff they used to do back in the 90s. Like, I don't know. This is like a step above, I don't know, that kind of stuff, but it's really, to me, I found it to be, as I already said, you know, I was disappointed, and I think the movie really is, it's a mess. And I guess we could start digging in. Like, Chris, you're giving it a, you know, definite recommend. You can look past its flaws, and you enjoy a lot of it.
I think it's fun. Like I enjoyed it. I had a good time with it, and I'm gonna go see it again. So,
I think it is it's a dreary mess with very few shining lights in it. You know, I liked Batman. I liked his action scene that he gets near the end. I liked the fight between them too, but oh boy, does that take a turn that I hated. I thought Wonder Woman was great, but I was just like, why is she, they're not using her? She's just there with nothing to do. So like that, and that's about where the things I like end. So
all right,
you
well,
want to dig into the nitty gritty of
let's dig into it.
where to begin, dear God. I think we could, for one, begin at the beginning, which
Sure.
I think I saw your review and that you'd agree with me on this. The beginning, why, oh, why, oh, why? Why are we learning Batman's origin story again?
Yeah, so that was something I definitely did not understand. And thinking back and having listened to multiple podcasts on this, Kevin Smith did like an hour and 10 minute review of the film himself. It makes sense from a movie from this movie standpoint. We don't ever need to see fucking that scene again.
We've
Everyone
seen
knows,
it.
right?
We've seen it in 14 other
Right.
movies.
And this is a movie that where we're introduced, like where it picks up, Batman has already been fighting. Like when we first see Bruce Wayne, like Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne, when we first see him, he has already been Batman for like 18 years, 18 and a half years. Like when we pick up at the beginning of Man of, at the end of Man of Steel, the beginning of Batman versus Superman, like he's it's the end of Man of Steel. We're seeing Ben Affleck driving through Metropolis. He has already been Batman for like 18 plus years. We don't need to see the fucking Waynes die
again. And also, like, really bizarre. One, I think it like fetishizes the pearls on his mom's neck, like the necklace. I'm like, what is with the goddamn pearls? And then the end of like that, like opening, like origin story scene, we get to see him when he falls down the well with the bats and all that, which we've seen in Batman Begins. And he starts floating with the bats. Like, what in the fuck?
But it was all a dream sequence.
I know. He explained,
there's lots of dream sequences.
Easy to miss, but he does explain that one. And dear God, like, yeah. Why don't we get into that next? Because I think that is one of the, like, to me, the dream sequences. This movie is 2.5 hours long. It should have been 1 hour 45 minutes. And they are the biggest goddamn sin in this movie. Like, what in the?
Well, you don't need them. Like, all right, if you want to lay out,
confuse more than anything.
You need to make that connection, right? Like, whether you like the connection or not, you need to make that connection there that Bruce's parents died and his mom name was Martha.
Oh, it's on the gravestone at some point. You know?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. I guess he does. That's another dream sequence, though. Like, it's another fucking dream sequence. Like,
they could have had him visit his parents' grave at one point.
Yeah, yeah. There's a potential way to do that.
Yeah, real simple in a minute somewhere that makes more goddamn sense.
But if you want to leave that one in, fine. That's fine. But why do you need the other three?
Yeah, I mean, there is a dream sequence. I think this might be one of the first ones. Yeah, this is the first one after the opening of the movie. There's like this really bizarre, like, future. Like, well, you don't know what the fuck is going on.
That's a little bit later on. That the one where he's in like the Afghanistan type looking.
Oh, there's a dream sequence before that.
Yeah, yeah. There's the one where he's at his parents' graves and it's like leaking blood.
Oh, I thought that came after.
I think that one. I think that the
that was pointless as fuck. I don't even get like.
I don't know, like the fucking weird like thing coming out of
like a bat animal or something coming, yeah. Like just a monster. Like it's like a jump scare that they try to pull with this thing jumping out of the grave.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. It's either I don't know. Neither one of them are necessary. Neither one of those dream sequences are necessary. But yeah, the. You're specifically talking about the Batman in a trench coat.
Oh God, it's so weird. Like, that's the thing too. The dream sequences like are confusing. Like, even the, like I was like, okay, this has got to be a dream sequence. But I don't know. I was just like, what the fuck is this?
Because of how it picks up, it's like because he at that point he is trying to get a hold of, he's trying to find like some way to defeat Superman. He's trying to find right?
Kryptonite,
so,
yeah.
So he's. Like in this, it just kind of picks up, and it's like, what is going? Is Batman wandering around in the desert area?
Yeah, he found like, kryptonite in Afghanistan or some shit, and then he finds out that like it's like just a green light bulb in a box, and he's been tricked. And then it's like fucking Superman's Nazis come out, and like these guys wearing, you know, like soldiers wearing like Superman patches on their arms or whatever, or bands on their arms, like. What in the fuck is going on? We hate movies did a 2.5 hour episode on this. They said he looked like fucking a Ninja Turtle in disguise, like when they go to see the fucking, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They go to see a movie or something, they wear the trench coats or whatever. It's like kind of what he looks like. And I'm just like, what in the flying fuck is going on here?
I have read people that do understand what it is. I still don't get it. Like it's evidently pointing towards Darkseid making an entrance somewhere down the line for the Justice League stuff. I don't care.
It's just why
it doesn't
why?
Fit. It's 4 or 5 minutes of nonsense that does not fit in the film.
There's like giant flying bugs or something too in that scene. Like really weird shit. Like what in the fuck? And then I think, is that the one he wakes up from?
Yes.
And he, well, what, you know, yes, what?
He wakes up from it. He's at the computer terminal.
Oh, no, okay. That's not the one I think
of. That's, oh, okay, good.
That's another dream, though, right? Or something? Like.
No.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Except for real. Okay.
Also, but yes, also, at first I was like, what the fuck is going on here? That was the Flash.
Oh, yeah. That shit was fucking dead. Yeah, again, another thing I was just like, what is this, dude? You're putting too much here. It doesn't make sense.
And it's a cute little Easter egg for fans of, like, Justice League and that stuff, where the Flash can travel through time.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's saying Lois Lane is the key, and it's like, all right, that's great, but, like, your average moviegoer, a.k.a. me, and I'm, like, kind of a geek, I'm still going, what's going on here? What is this?
Well, I mean, like, it took me, like, thinking about it to understand what the fuck was going on. So it wasn't even, like, an Easter egg that, like, I got instantly as somebody who, like, reads this shit. Like, it was like, what? One, that fucking Flash costume. what the hell is he wearing? But yes, it's almost like the Flash made an accident. He's too early. Like, he's supposed to come at some point later. He's come to deliver this message to Bruce, but it's too early. Like, so Bruce has no idea what it means.
Neither does anybody else in the fucking theater. We're in the same shoes as Bruce, I guess, at that point.
So. Yeah, we're all, what the fuck? Like, Ben Affleck's going, what the fuck? Like, yeah. So is everyone else in the theater.
No, but I was thinking of when he wakes up from one of the dream sequences. He's, like, in some fucking house, wherever the fuck.
His house.
And there's just some random chick, like, next to him that never gets acknowledged even by him. And he just wakes up and he starts drinking. As soon as he wakes up, they got some, like, wine glasses that were sitting out from last night. He, like, just grabs one of the glasses and looks out, drinks from it. Like, okay, whatever. But, yeah, okay, anyway. So, yeah, so I think we're both in agreement that
those... You can cut them. They make zero sense.
For the love of God, cut them. And I heard, too, there's talk of, like, a director's cut that's going to be longer. Holy shit.
3 hours. I need to see it.
Dude, but it's just... I think that, like, people get things wrong about, like, oh, if we get the director's cut...
No. Have you ever watched the extended versions of Lord of the Rings? It doesn't make those movies better.
No,
there's a reason you edit shit.
Yeah, exactly. The point of telling a story, if I'm telling you a story, or if it's being written down, or if you're putting in a movie, is to be concise, respect the person's time, you know? That's good storytelling. This happened, this happened, this happened, boom. Not... Oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to go into 18 million fucking tangents. Like, I don't, for the love of God.
There's a lot of stuff going on in the first, like, 90 minutes of this movie. You have Bruce and Batman trying to find a way to stop Superman. You have Clark... wanting to be a reporter and, you know, report on Batman. But he's being tasked by Perry to do anything but that. Because honestly, like, that shit don't sell.
Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna, like, it's funny because I'm watching Daredevil, and that's something that also comes up, like, where Ben Ulrich's editor's like, no, you can't look into the fucking Kingpin shit because nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
Do what I say, because that sells newspapers. Nothing sells newspapers, mind you, so.
Right. Did they make a joke about
There is a joke where I guess
one of the few jokes in this fucking dreary.
Yeah, and both of them come from Lawrence Fishburne, I believe. One, he makes a comment to Lois, I believe, about it not being 1938 anymore.
Yeah.
Or maybe he makes that to Clark, where, like, hey, it's not 1938, which is a callback to, you know, when Superman
was
first published. And then there's another. There's another joke where it's like, we can't afford a helicopter for Lois. Like, I need a helicopter. He's like, we can't afford a helicopter for whatever story. And she's like, but I need it for personal. Whatever. Just get her fucking helicopters.
I thought he was one of the few bright spots of Lawrence
Fishburne. Lawrence Fishburne's great as Perry White. He's fantastic.
He's the only one bringing any sort of humor to the movie, really. There's a few other little jokes that the other characters will do, but, like, anytime he's talking, he's kind of making jokes a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Well,
just needed,
I mean, I don't... This. Obviously, you did not like some of Eisenberg's performance. I know that, like, one of the lines that you have a big problem with is the Jolly Rancher line. But
hey, dude, that, no, it's not the line. It's
so
it's
funny.
It's just, dude, it is a strangely homoerotic scene.
So weird.
Like, out of nowhere.
He's, like, bumping it on his lips.
Yeah, dude, out of nowhere. He's, like, talking to some senator or some shit. I don't even remember the context. He's talking to this guy, and he's like, he's got a bowl of Jolly Ranchers. He's like, Jolly Rancher? And the guy's like, no, no, thanks. He's like, come on. It's cherry. He, like, picks one up for him, and he, like, unwraps it, and he slowly slides the Jolly Rancher into the guy's mouth. And I'm like, whoa. What the fuck? Like,
yeah, I think it's meant to, like, I'm in charge here. And, like, he does. He's, at that point, he's starting to establish his I have something you.
Yeah, want. You think that's all that's going on there? Like, I don't know, man. Well, it was like the strange.
Oh no, they're
Skyfall, where they're talking about how, like, Bond could be gay. You remember that part where he's, like, strapped to a chair?
Yeah.
But that was like it was like more playful, and they, like, knew. I have no problem with weird like
it is weirdly sexual. Like, it.
Yeah.
It's so strange. I thought it was funny though.
It's funny to laugh at it, but I'm like, I don't know if that's what they're entirely.
I'm not sure. Nothing about Eisenberg's performance, I'm sure, if they were attempting to go for that or not. But
yeah, like, and I do find him enjoyable and here and there. Like you said, like, he's kind of one of the lighter elements of the movie where he's. It's weird though. He's just doing. He's got these weird nervous tics, and
oh, yeah, it's so strange. Like, but it's almost like. Kevin Smith said this in his review. It's like he had the reverse, but it's like, all right, so you see what everybody else is doing, you do the opposite. Everybody else is, like, very upset, and they're very grim and dark and moody. You be insane and manic and over the top. Go. And he just did.
I don't have the firmest grasp on Lex Luthor's character, but I just feel like what he's doing, like, the guy is supposed to be like, this is how I envision him. He's like a smart business type guy who has an agenda. Like, he has a point, and here it's like,
yeah, I'm not sure what his point was.
And also, I think I read somewhere that he's not like the Lex Luthor that you think. He's his son.
No, he's not. He specifically states that he is, that his dad is the one who built the company. And he's Lex Luthor Jr. Like, he calls that out himself. And they actually make there's a couple instances where they kind of deal with his dad on, like, a tangential.
Yeah, they kind of mentioned. I just didn't catch it. Like, I just thought, okay, that's who Lex Luthor was. He inherited his. He's like Trump. Like, I just thought that's, like, who he was. You know. So I didn't know
that. Maybe that's what they were going for. Like, actually, it would have been funnier if he was Trump.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I thought that the character of Lex Luthor was that, you know, he inherited his dad's company and all that. Like, you know, so like I said, I didn't know the character enough, but I knew that he wasn't, like, this guy who was just about chaos. Like, he had a plan.
No, generally, Lex is trying, like, his motivations are always for him to get as much power as possible.
Yeah, power and money, right? That's what I thought. Like,
it's like money. I think for Lex, like, often money comes from power. So, like, if he can have the power, he'll have the money too.
Yeah, one and the same.
Yeah. I mean, there's an entire comic storyline which took place around the time Bush Jr. was elected, I believe, and Lex was voted into office. Like, they did a whole entire storyline where he became the president of the United States.
Okay.
So, like, he is all about getting power, and I think there are those motivations there, but his craziness overwhelms much of that. Like,
yeah, he seems like a rich kid who inherited something, and he's just Yeah, like he wants certain things, but like, all right, it's like he wants Superman dead. Well, I guess maybe if Superman's out of way, it'll be more easy for him to attain power. But again, the movie does not get do a great job of conveying any of this. You're just kind of left like, well, he's doing this because he's the bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
Which is not like, which makes him come off more as someone like, you know, the Joker who wants to watch the world burn as opposed to what I would think of as Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
So.
or like the Joker is there's no motivation to it. I mean, there is motivation, it's just to create as much chaos as possible, and be the anti to everything that is Batman.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if yes, Superman is Lex's mortal kind of arch enemy or whatever, but if Superman's not there, Lex is still going to be doing these things. Like, he's still going to be trying to get power, regardless of whether Superman's there or not.
Can we talk about the main central premise of this movie that I still have a problem with?
Sure.
I don't feel like these two should be fighting. Like I get it. That's the point of it. It's Batman versus Superman, but it's like I felt like they're stretching to make that a plausible thing. I get in Batman's case what he's saying kind of is like, "Hey man, this guy could destroy the whole world if he decided to, so we need to get rid of him." I kind of
Well,
get that.
yes.
Superman just seems like he's being like a little whiny little brat. Like, I don't want
I
someone
don't.
else is trying to do what I do. Like, I don't know. It just seems weird. Like, you're a vigilante too, kind of. You know? You kind of do it with the approval of other people, but like,
Right.
you're not a police officer, you know what I mean? Like,
Well, I think that Clark objects to Batman's brutality.
okay.
Whereas,
That's
like,
kind of laughable. Like,
on a level, right? Like you look at what Clark did to Metropolis, like, that's funny. Like, but Clark didn't choose to do that. Like, if he didn't do that, Zod and like the rest of those Kryptonians were going to destroy Earth, and like,
yeah.
so like they're in his head, he was maybe not justified in doing it, but like, it shit was going to go bad regardless. Like, we had to fight back. And he was the catalyst for fighting back, because he was the only one that could stop them. Whereas Bruce is just like working outside the bounds of, like, these are things that the police could handle. These are like, there's nothing that Bruce is doing that can't be handled by other people.
I
He's
guess.
doing it in a brutal, like, I mean, like, there's that whole set of photos, you know, judge, jury, executioner, that shit, so.
Yeah, I think what hurts it more though is like how they're characterizing Superman a little bit in this. Like, and we kind of already touched on this, but it's just like Superman doesn't seem like Superman, like, you know, about saving people and doing good shit. He's just kind of like, he's got like tunnel vision or something. And then like the part I was arguing with Earl on Twitter about was like, they want him to come to, all right, first off, this is another thing that doesn't make sense. Like, we start this movie and then we go to fucking like Africa or wherever the fuck.
Right, so somewhere like Lois is gone. She's going to interview
She's
some
doing a story.
dictator or terrorist or
Some
some, yeah.
terrorists. She's interviewing some terrorists and she gets into trouble there, and then Superman can hear it and he shows up. And he saves her. And then he gets blamed for the violence that happened there, even though it wasn't his fault. But one, that scene was kind of like, it's just kind of weird and random and confusing. And I don't think necessary. Like, did you need him? Like, did you need this for like people to get upset? Like, were people not upset already from what happened a year and a half ago in Metropolis? Like, that conflict's already there. So like, I didn't need this weird
Yeah,
opening.
I don't know where that piece, like, where that anger comes from, like, outside of that he didn't do it in America. Like,
Yeah, it's so like, and like, that's what finally got Congress in a hissy fit is him going to Africa and some people got like killed, some terrorists and shit got killed. It's like, wouldn't they like, shouldn't there have been hearings about Metropolis, like, you know, fucking New York getting destroyed essentially?
well, I do wonder if some of that is like, oh, well, we know why he did, because the military was involved in that operation. That's true, so it's like, why is he acting solo? He should be working with us. He should be letting us. He can't be this rogue agent. But, and I think that it's not spelled out very well.
I just think like the public outcry, I think, would be more from the huge devastation in America than some Benghazi type shit. Like, you know, like something that happens in another country. Like,
I think public outcry for sure. But I mean, there's a lot of things that we in the public like outcry for, where our own politicians pay zero attention to.
I guess. I mean, but.
I mean, coming from this movie, it's a little bit much, like, especially for something where everything is very blunt. Like, there's not a lot of like nuance to some of this stuff. Definitely. So, going, like, why are they specifically doing that? Like, there are times in this movie where they want you to, you know, infer things that maybe you're not getting because the rest of the movie is trying to beat you over the head with shit.
Yeah. But anyways, so they start having hearings about what happened, and Superman goes and he shows up and he's standing there in the Capitol building and he's about to like talk to this politician played by Holly Hunter, who like I didn't realize it was her. I remember seeing her in the opening credits and I was like, where was she in this movie? She's aged a bit. And she's got this weird accent or whatever going on in this.
She's playing junior Kentucky senator. Yeah. So.
But it's like this weird, like she's chewing on some shit as she's trying to talk. Anyways. And then there's a dude there that Lexus, like a suicide bomber that Lexus placed in there. And it just the place just blows up. And Superman stands there like a statue and does nothing through the whole thing. And Earl's trying to argue with me like, well, the bomb just went off. What do you want him to do? And I'm like, he's fucking Superman. He couldn't have rounded up 15 people or wherever he could in a fraction of a second and flew up into the air and saved. Or at the very least, after the bomb goes off, like there's got to be people that are like missing limbs and stuff. He couldn't like fly them to a hospital. He just stands there and I'm like, whoa. This is
well, he also like he stands there during the blast and then it cuts away. Like,
and he's still standing. No, I think they cut back and he's still standing there, like just doing nothing. Just standing around, like, well, that sucks. This is horrible. It's like, it just doesn't feel like what a hero should do. Like, a hero should try to fucking help at that moment. Like,
but I think that's part of the misunderstanding of, like, we are bringing our preconceptions of what Superman is to this. He's not that Superman yet, he's not a hero yet. He's been thrown into this. He's not the symbol of hope that people have put on him yet. He hasn't come to terms with that yet. He hasn't accepted that yet.
But it just makes him like regardless, it makes him seem like an ass because he has the power to at least do something here. And something like I heard on the other podcast I was listening to, like you mean to tell me this motherfucker with X-ray vision couldn't see a goddamn bomb? Like he looks at the dude.
Well, I mean,
see a bomb in the fucking in the wheelchair.
We also don't know exactly like how much Lex knows. Like, remember, go all the way back to the 1978 Superman, was it 78, 79, the Christopher Reeve Gene Hackman one, where like they trick Superman and they basically almost drown them in that movie. Like at the end of that movie. Because Lex knows more about Superman than he's let on. And I mean, we've talked about it. There's sloppy storytelling here. We don't know how much Lex knows about the weaknesses of Kryptonians, but he has had access to it. Superman can't see through lead. We don't know what that bomb was set up with.
At that point, we're starting to get into real nerd shit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this whole movie is super nerd shit, though. It's like,
yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. That me as a casual fan, I'm sitting here going, "Hey, this is Superman," and as someone who knows everything that Superman can do, they got to be sitting there going, "What the fuck?"
Where you could easily throw in a line, from Lex, like even. Like about how Oh, I totally got you there. Like, I lined that bomb that I gave to Scooty McScooterson. I lined it with lead. You couldn't see shit. Like, for all the other weird lines there is, like, he could have
Yeah, right? If you're gonna
lobbed that in there.
exactly.
But I think there are definitely ways where he wouldn't know there was a bomb there. And I mean, maybe he is a little tunnel vision-y too, like where he doesn't really know where he's supposed to be at yet. And then this happens and he's just resigned to, I'm fucked. Like, there's nothing I can do.
He just seems like a selfish brat where it's just like, well, nobody likes me, so fuck them, and it's just me and Lois Lane. Like, I think he even says to her at some point that, like, the only thing that matters is you. And I'm like,
Well, yeah,
nah, dude,
like,
that's not who
yeah,
you're.
it's,
Something like that. And there's the
where
weird
she,
tub scene.
yeah, I think, I think it was weird, like, well,
I don't know. It's
that's,
just
it's like, you,
overly romantic, kind of
yeah,
like.
all right, I'll give you that, it is, I mean, it's,
Like, let me ask you this. Have you
you
ever
had him in
gotten
a
to
fucking
a.
tub, like, I'm down
Have you ever
for
gotten to. First of all, have you ever been somewhere with a giant ass, like, old school tub like that, and then got in the tub with your wife with all your clothes on, and like, I love you, dear? Like, I don't know.
No.
It's kind of ridiculous.
It's cliche movie
Yeah.
romance. Like, we need to establish that these two love each other. How do we do that? Clark, get in the fucking tub. Like, he brings her flowers, he hops in the tub with her. Hey, it's fucking Amy Adams naked in a tub.
Hey, we do get a little Amy Adams side boobs. It's all
Yeah.
right.
It's like maybe a little top, like, side, little bit of, like, little nipple there that we almost see. It's definitely, we'll maybe go see that in 3D.
She's another. I really like her in both these movies, but
She's useless in this film. Like, well, she's not useless. She
I oh, but I like her though. Like.
distracts. Yeah, I love Amy Adams. She's great, but she has zero to do here except be rescued by Clark. Which means she should die anytime now, because.
Right, because it's very much like Zack Snyder's thing is like it just has to be, I don't know, it has to look cool and bad shit has to happen. That's like what I'm getting. I know I haven't seen all of his movies, but it's kind of what I'm getting out of him.
But yeah, so like I mean, with Superman's motivations there, and I'm like, I think Batman's motivations are like, he looks at this guy and he doesn't trust that, he
I
doesn't
get
trust
it.
him at
I
all.
get it. I get Batman's motivations more, okay? But what if he was like, maybe I could make this guy an ally and he could be my tool of justice? You know, that's more interesting to me. Like, all right, this guy's a real danger.
I think
What's,
that
you know.
I don't disagree with you. I think that Bruce is driven by rage in this movie for 90% of it, and he's blinded by it. Like, he's not that Bruce Wayne Batman character that we've gotten in past movies.
And I really am interested to see more, I hope, of a Batman who is really kind of jaded, you know, like he's been doing this because we've seen so much of the Batman Begins type material. Where he's trying to find himself, I would like to see more of like a Batman who's just like, I give zero fucks anymore.
Well, I think that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Ben Affleck's Batman solo movies are going to be, but I don't think that that's where this Batman is going. I think by the end of this movie,
Little
he's
more,
changed.
well, now, yeah, by the end, he's BFFs with fucking everybody, so.
I don't know about that, but.
He goes from being the mortal enemy of Superman. To telling his mom, this is my friend.
All right, what?
Which
Okay.
might, all right,
It
first
makes
off, all right.
sense.
No, all right, we gotta take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about, in my opinion, the fatal fucking flaw of this film, which I was not alone in noticing right away.
Right.
about the title fight, baby. Batman versus Superman. What we paid our tickets for. Big showdown.
You mean the court case? Batman v Superman?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why the fuck is it set up like that? All right, yes. The big fight here. Batman and Superman going at it. Abandoned sector of Gotham.
It's abandoned because you know why it's abandoned. Because you don't want a bunch of civilians getting killed this time. People will get upset.
Well, also, I mean, Batman, yes, I mean, there's that complaint for sure that was levied against Man of Steel, but Bruce has been operating exclusively in, like, the dock area of Gotham fighting crime.
Yeah.
And so he picked the location for this fight. Like,
well, because it's a rigged fight. And I hate to say that. I've gotten into some fights at work about this, actually. I'm like, dude, it's a rigged fight, but that's the only way that Superman... that's the only way a human can beat a god is he's set a trap.
Well, all right. I mean, that's how Batman always defeats Superman. Batman always can defeat Superman, but it's always by... He has to rig the fight. He can't go one-on-one against fucking Superman. Is he stupid?
I think I think I mentioned once when, like, you know, back, way back, years back when they said they were making this movie, I think I said I'm probably saying to you or something, like, there's no, I know, I love Batman, but there's no way he beats him. You're like, yeah, he could, he's smarter, you know, and it's, so Batman, like, yeah, he rigs it up with, he's got kryptonite grenades and kryptonite spears and all sorts of shit. He weakens Superman, and one thing I fucking loved is he beats the shit out of Superman. Yep. This is fucking great. He does such a great job that he is about to impale and kill Superman, which, remember, that's his whole mission here. He wants to kill, like, I don't know if you want to say he hates him or not, but he wants to kill Superman because he thinks he's a danger.
Mm-hmm. And he is 100%
committed
to taking out Superman because he views him as, like, this all-powerful threat that can't be stopped. Or can't be stopped by anybody but him.
And he kicks his ass for the moment. You know, Superman gets some punches and he does okay.
Yeah, Bruce's mask gets all sorts of fucked up and
And then he's got him on the ropes and he's about to just impale Superman. He's about to kill him, and then, like, Lois Lane runs in. She's like, "No, no." Basically, and then
well, even before that.
Superman's like, Martha, and he's, like, calling out his mom's name. Like, he's like a little fucking, he's, like, about to die and piss himself, and he's like, "Mommy, mommy."
Which makes more sense than calling out your mom's name. Like, if I'm getting my ass kicked by Batman, and, like, it's all because I need to save my mom, I'm not going to call out my mom's name. I'm just going to be like, they're going to kill my mom.
Yeah, although I could, because she's not his biological mom, so I guess I could kind of see it. Like, maybe he calls her Martha. I don't know.
He doesn't. He calls her Mom. Like,
okay, so then, I mean, it is stupid, but the whole thing is stupid, because once he mentions her name, Batman's like, what'd you say, Martha? Martha, who? And it basically it was like, you know,
totally goes insane.
Yeah, his Batman's name, his mom's name was Martha as well, and it basically boils down to, like, oh, you have a mom too? We're really not that different. Like, that's what it, like, in the instant he's about to achieve his fucking mission, accomplish his mission, because the dude has a mom with the same name as his mom, we're fucking BFFs. We're fucking ride or die now together for the rest of this movie. Like,
for the rest of this movie, sure.
It's a ridiculous turn. It's like, it kind of negates the whole movie you've watched up until that point. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, we're going to come together because we got to save Martha. Because your mom's name is Martha. My mom's name was Martha. My mom got killed. We're going to save your mom. It's like, what in the fuck, dude? Like, did you forget your larger objective and the meaning of that objective?
Well, I think his larger objective was that he viewed him as this all-powerful thing that
so you're okay
had no humanity. Like, I view it as, like, he didn't view Superman as being a man.
Which, to me, that's the movie going, that's the movie saying, the movie is accepting you to believe that Batman is incredibly stupid. Like, obviously there's gonna be people that care about Superman, and like, you know, he has a family and a life outside of when he became Superman. Like, it's just, to me, it's asking you
Well,
to
I
believe
mean,
that he's an idiot.
but as because this all predicates on the fact that, you know, Superman can hide behind a pair of fucking glasses and nobody knows who the fuck
Which
he
is
is.
also ridiculous.
It's always been ridiculous. Like,
It
if
always has,
we're
yeah.
dealing in ridiculous land, like
Yeah, we
where
are.
glasses are goddamn, like he's able to hide behind a pair of glasses. Like, it's stupid. But yeah, I'm okay with, you know, Bruce having been like, this, I don't know who this thing is. Like, he doesn't, I don't think he knows he's Clark. At that point, right? Like, Clark knows who Bruce is. Clark knows who Batman is, which I don't understand.
He knows that, yeah, but
That
no one
makes
else has pieced
zero sense to
together.
me, but I don't think
Yeah.
Bruce knows who Superman is. And I, like, because it's, he's always been depicted as this, like, godlike thing that just comes in and indiscriminately saves or destroys things as he sees fit. And Bruce is blinded by that. And it's stupid. It's very contrived. It's lame. It's lazy. But
All right, so you're admitting that it's bad, at least.
it's an easy way to go, Superman is just as human as you. At that moment, it makes very
God,
little
dude, it's.
sense because, like, if I am that angry and I'm gonna fucking stab like this thing that, because that's what he views him as. He views him as a thing. He's gonna
Yeah.
stab this thing through the heart, like him calling out Martha. Like, really? Like, he's gonna have some PSDT now? Like.
Yeah. Dude, I it's dude, that was the number one thing. As soon as I got in the car and I'm driving home with my friend, that was the first thing I brought up. I was like, dude, what in the fuck was that? He's like, yeah, that just makes it. Like, an hour later, he sent me a meme making fun of that. Like, everyone was making fun of that right away. I was like, the Martha scene, that's what this movie's gonna be remembered for. Like, it's just, it's a cheap, lazy way of getting to where they
It's
wanted to go.
yes. I mean, I understand why. Like, I mean, you built up that Clark, that the Bruce does not believe that Superman is a man. He does not believe that, he believes he's a god and he needs to be put down. It's like, shit, he is a man. Maybe he does actually care, but it's a weird switch in that instant that maybe doesn't work very well, but it moves it along to the next stage. So, and at you know, we can't explore a whole lot more in this film because it would be 17 hours long.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many little things you could nitpick, but you know, from there on, it goes into, I think, fairly standard, like
Was an action comic book movie.
it go, yeah, that we've seen a billion times, and this, I'm really sick of the huge CGI creature that comes out, and that's when it
Say.
starts to feel like Spider-Man 3 or Amazing Spider-Man 2 to me, where it's just like this big thing tearing shit up, and they have to all come together. Like, there's moments in it that are cool, like Wonder Woman, I thought was badass in it. I was like, whoa, you know, she's cool. Batman's kind of just off to the side during a lot of the
It's
fight.
like,
He's
I
like
mean, that's
15 miles away.
always been the thing, right? It's like Batman can't fly.
You can't do this shit.
He's kind of reliant on all of his cool toys.
He
But
does
when,
get to go and kick a warehouse full of people's dudes' asses,
right,
which is
like
nice.
when Batman is up against other humans, he is the best thing in the room. But when he's like up against these otherworldly things, he's kind of just a nuisance and in the way.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is Batman gonna do against this like alien
Yeah.
creature that every time you hurt him, he gets stronger?
Yeah, he's basically like running tech support at that point. Like, he's
Right.
way in the background. Like, I'm gonna try to do shit to help you guys,
I'm hang
you
out
know?
over here, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and I you know, it's fine, whatever. It's at that point, like, I was already so like disappointed that I was just like, all right, well, at least I get to see shit blow up now.
Yeah, like that to me was the part that I liked the least, was that like Doomsday fight. Like, I did not enjoy it. Like,
It's so like I said, we've seen it a billion times. You know, we've
it's
seen
boring.
Like,
it's rote. Yeah, it's just.
And the worst, the one other thing we have to talk about this is like the last 20 minutes or so, because they do the death of Superman. You know, Doomsday kills Superman. There was part of me that was like, I kind of respected that they were going for. At first, I was like, yeah, right, whatever. They go on with it for so long that I'm like, wow, they're really committing to this. Like, we have two funerals going on. The movie goes on like another 20 minutes saying goodbye to Superman.
They should have cut it there. Like, when she throws the dirt on the casket, they should have cut it.
Yeah, or something, anything, but like.
I mean, I guess, like, after a film that is so grim and dark, you don't want to end it. You don't want to start your franchise on such a downer. But so you got to be like, oh shit, we're gonna inception this shit, right?
The movie is so blunt though that I'm surprised that it didn't just go straight out like
he just burst out of the fucking.
He flies like 300 feet in the air and
flies out.
It was almost subtle what they did with the dirt on the coffin, because it starts to levitate and then it cuts to black. Like, that almost felt like, yeah, it was like a stylish Inception final shot, you know, but,
it's like, ooh, is he still alive? Yeah, the fuck he is. He's fucking Superman.
No, but that's the thing, is it makes me go, okay, then why the fuck did we just waste 20 fucking minutes?
Well, I mean, that's,
you know, shit.
You don't need that final 5 seconds. You don't need the dirt floating, because he's fucking Superman. You're not going to kill him.
No, he'll be back, but at least you don't kill him for real in this film.
The very fucking, and, like, people are going, what the fuck? Like, instead it's like, oh, so, Lord of the Rings, this shit.
Yeah, and one thing that our friend Aaron Altoid Yoda said was, like, he's like, it's kind of like they, like, went for the biggest thing in the first movie here, where it's like, the Doomsday fight should have been, like, in a way later movie and, like, actually kill Superman. Instead, it was, like, they threw that in there, and then they, like, killed Superman, and they realized, no, wait, we can't have him dead, so.
Well, that's where I think this, and that's not a Snyder thing, like, he didn't write this, He was kind of like dumped with this script from David Goyer and Chris Tietro.
I heard someone from Argo did work on this, like one of, like Ben Affleck.
Chris Tietro, he did some rewrites of the original script.
Tried to help as much as he could.
I think it's Chris Tietro.
Yeah.
Crew.
Well, I know it was Goyer who like basically wrote.
Yeah,
like,
Chris Tietro, not. Yeah, so Goyer wrote the primary script. Fortunately, Goyer's gone. He's off of these movies completely. So
it's probably a good thing, man.
Yeah,
I didn't want to hate it, but I had a bad vibe. I really did. You remember for like months, I was like, dude, those trailers do not look good. And then the reviews hit, and they're kind of confirming what I thought. And then at the point when I'm finally going to theater, I'm going reluctantly with low expectations, and so that should actually help the film's favor. Because usually, if I go in with low expectations, I'm like, it wasn't that bad. I went with low expectations, and I was just like rolling my eyes for most of it. So I mean, look, it's okay for people to like it. It's fine that you enjoyed it, but I'm like. You could do so much better than this. Like, it's disappointing. Like, especially like if people are like, oh, the Marvel movies are always so much better. I'm like, no, that's not true, because the DC Batman movies that they did in the last decade or so were fantastic. They're some of the best superhero movies I've seen, or comic book movies, because he's not a superhero. And then to go from that to this, I'm like, And I liked Man of Steel, so it's, you know, I don't know. I just, to me, this was just a huge, huge drop off from that even. So, Chris, your final rating.
I talked it. I like it quite a bit. I'm gonna watch it again. I'll watch that ridiculously long 3-hour cut of this.
I was gonna
see that. Yeah, I mean, I have to watch it, like. I don't know. But yeah, based on like that first viewing and the fact that I want to go see it again, I'm going to go really high here, but I'm going to go 4. It's not a high 4. It's like, but
it's and I enjoyed it.
It's
I
ab-
really
it's
enjoyed
above a three. Like it's not like eh, it was like okay. Like I liked it. I had fun with it.
This is why we need those half stars right here.
No half stars. I hate half stars.
I'll tell you what. If we do half stars right here,
there
I'm
would
going
be a three and a half. Yes.
Well,
for you, it would not be. But
it sounds like it would be three and a half. For me, I'd go one and a half. I'm going to give it a two because I want to be generous. Because I do think that there are things in it that are there that are likable, and I think the cast is likable. And it is not quite as bad as a 90s. You know, it's not quite as bad as Batman versus Robin, in my opinion. But it's just, to me, it was just a total, like, it missed the mark by so much, and it was such a downer. And which, like I said, being a downer is not necessarily bad, but to be a downer and to be kind of dull and to be so nonsensical, like so much of it is so all over the place. I shouldn't be sitting there picking the movie apart as I'm watching it the first time, and I was. So, yeah, it's a two from me, four from you. Me personally, I'm saying at the very most, rent it when it comes out. You're much better off staying home and watching Daredevil, in my opinion. Daredevil gets the action even better. So, like, what the fuck? Why am I wasting time with this? It's a rental at best just to see what they fucking – how they fuck this up. Like, it's like a curiosity. For you, though, you're saying you might go see it another time. In the
theater. Yeah, I'm gonna go see it again on Sunday. And maybe I come out of that going, like there are things that I don't like as much on the second viewing, but
it's going to be great.
Yeah, it'll be weird.
A movie that long and so, like, I mean, it's weird because we did remember a lot of it. Like, we picked a lot of it apart. But I just feel like the more times you watch it, it's going to, like, things are going to grate on you more. Like, why did they do that? Why? What's with this? Like, the dream sequence. Like,
the dream sequences are really weird.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought they were really weird sitting there in that first time I saw it. So
they make the first hour and a half of the movie weird as a whole. We're just like, where is this going, dude? Like, what in the fuck's going on?
I do like, even as for as much as I liked it, I feel that so much of this movie is, it was people at Warner Brothers going, we need to do this, 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 this,
yeah,
and this. And maybe this, and like, I don't like, everyone wants to blame Snyder, and I guess, like, yeah, he is the director of note here, but like, I don't know if, like, there are definitely things that Snyder could do better. The editing, which we didn't really touch on, is it's not good in this movie. It makes it very choppy. I think we did mention that it feels kind of disjointed for a lot of that beginning.
I wish his movie. And for as good as his movies look, I'm sure you've seen this. Like, when, like, after Man of Steel came out, people messed with the color processing on it and made, like, the colors actually stick out again. Because he, mm-hmm. like, his movies, like,
he mutes them, yes.
They're, like, they're desaturated. Like, Man of Steel looks even more fantastic with the colors in there. Like, why is everything so gray and blue and shit? Like, I mean, his movies look good, but I don't dig the color, I guess. I don't know how else to explain it. It's the art direction. No, it's not the art direction. It's just the color. Like, I just bring some fucking life into this.
Yeah, I mean, that's all artistic choice, right? Like, so.
And it's all stuff that's being done in post where they're like, you know that they're going in there and editing it. Like,
mute this color here, add saturation over here. Like, I don't know. But it feels like a studio produced film. And I do wonder, like, coming off of this movie, that sets up the universe, if the other movies that take place in it will work better, right? Like, they won't be saddled with that need. I'm wondering about Wonder Woman and certainly Suicide Squad, which
Suicide Squad looks
super fun.
Yeah, it looks fun. Like, that looks like, I don't know if has it been rated as like PG-13 or R?
It's PG-13, and there are people that, like, are giving it shit for why wasn't it rated, like, especially after Deadpool was rated R. Like, Suicide Squad is
It looks like it should be a R-rated movie, though. It looks like, you know, it's gonna be like wacky and violent and but
Sure.
whatever. I'm going into that like with way more positive feelings. I like the trailers for it. I think that like people were worried about Jared Leto or Leto. I don't know how you say
He
it.
looks fantastic. Like, I like that he
Looks
is a
good in it.
completely different Joker than Heath Ledger's Joker.
It's like a mashup. He almost feels like a mashup to me, and I like what he's doing with it. So yeah, I'm really interested in that movie.
And I mean, Margot Robbie's in that. She's
Yeah.
playing, you know, Harley Quinn, who's one of my favorite characters from like the cartoon and comics. So, like, there's a lot going on in that movie. I wonder where that movie places though, in this new kind of attached universe, right? Like it takes place in it, but where?
Yeah.
Where does this movie fit in a world where Batman and V Superman just happened.
You know, they're doing a lot of this with the Marvel shows, or they do it with the Marvel movies, I guess, but like the Marvel shows so far, like sometimes people pop in from Jessica Jones on Daredevil, you know, and vice versa. I think that, you know, maybe Lois Lane shows up at one point or so, you know what I mean? Just like something really small, like
Right, it's just
they don't
something
have to
to tie
explain the
it. Like,
larger
yeah.
context of everything.
I guess we'll see, right?
I think it looks fun. Like, I'm not going into it expecting it to be great, but I think like just the vibe I got off those trailers was more of like, this is gonna be fun at the very least. This is not gonna be, you know, grim end of the world shit.
I think it was that podcast that you listened to. They were asking like, where the hell are was it them? I don't know. Somebody was asking like, why the hell can't we have simplistic like superhero stories anymore? Why does everything have to be
9 billion 9/11s or
yeah.
yeah,
It's like
that's V8
the
movies.
fucking world is like falling apart.
That's a good point though, because it's always the whole city's blowing up, you know.
I mean, even in the Nolan shit, right? Like it kept escalating and escalating, like
Yeah, they're like, and V8 movies, like, why can't it just be like a jewel thief or whatever?
right.
It's kind of true. It's like
Like, I mean, that's why Ant-Man works though, I think. Like, I know,
exactly.
because it's so simplistic and it's like something different. We don't need the Avengers every single time. So maybe Suicide Squad is more self-contained and they're not saving the world.
Just how many times has New York got to get blown to fucking shit in
Just.
movies? It's like the most abused city ever. Anyways.
Yeah. You saw another movie though.
Yeah, I saw Best Picture winner Spotlight. We've run a little long for our show here, so I'll keep it
You keep it for next
short.
time.
Yeah, I'll keep it for next time. I'll just say it was really good, so Chris, if you get a chance to see it, we'll do a more full.
I'll try and watch that this weekend. I'm gonna wrap up Daredevil season one as well.
You enjoying it or?
Sure. The parts of it, it. I don't know. I'm 10 episodes in. There are episodes that don't work at all, and just don't feel like they fit, even though everything is interconnected. It's like this whole thing. Like we talked about it with Batman vs Superman. There's like whole 55-minute episodes that are like, this is useless. Why is it here? Like, this is something that you could have done in 2 minutes of exposition.
Yeah.
In another episode, and like I still have three more episodes to go. It's like so long. Some of the action is fantastic.
Yeah.
I really like the guy who plays Matt Murdock. Actually, I like all the principal cast, like Ben Ulrich, Karen Page, Foggy Nelson.
How do you like Wilson Fisk?
Wilson Fisk is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it was the episode I just watched last night was where his girlfriend dies. So you were asking about her being, you're like, she's not in season two. That's because she's dead. She died in season one. She was poisoned.
She died?
Well, it seems that way. I mean,
Oh, well,
maybe
you need
she's.
to keep. I because I know her fate now, I think. So I'm
Okay.
not saying.
Yeah, like she was like foaming at the mouth. Like they definitely
Okay.
poisoned everybody at this party that they were at. So.
Just his rage, like the rage that D'Onofrio will unleash with that character is pretty great.
He's really good. Like he punches the fuck out of Murdoch in the one episode, and
Like Dude, even ever since Full Metal Jacket, that's the guy I'd be afraid to like hang out with for a night, where I'm like, this guy might just lose it on everybody, like in real life. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, it's good. What I've seen of Jessica Jones, I like more. But it could just be, a different take. Like, I've never been a big Daredevil fan, so.
I never have either, but this show has really sold me on him. As for Jessica Jones, I like Jessica Jones a lot too. I think what I love more about Jessica Jones is even more than Wilson Fisk, the villain in Jessica Jones is so good. Like, he's so, his power is that he could control people with suggestion. He could just say, "Hey, pick up that gun and shoot yourself in the
And
head."
David Tennant, like, I mean,
I never
Doppler was
expected him
great,
to be
but David Tennant is
be
so
so good in
good.
it. Yeah, like it's just, but just from a pure like concept perspective, it's such an interesting character that like a villain that can make such, he could tell everyone to just kill themselves and they will. But Daredevil, oh my God, like we talked about before, like the one fight scene in the hallway in episode two of season one where he's going out, like a one take shot. It's so incredible. The fights in general. That's why, like, I was still almost unimpressed by Batman versus Superman because the fights in Daredevil are so good. In season two, there's a fight in every episode. Like, every episode almost ends with a big ass fight, so it's just really fun. And season two gets really gory. Like, dude cutting people's heads off, and it's not comic booky at all. It's like, it's violence that you go, whoa! Like, as you see it, like, it shocks you. Out of nowhere, like Daredevil will be fighting someone, and Elektra will come up from behind and just slit the guy's throat, and you're like, "Whoa, dude!" Like, it's just, and Punisher's bashing people's skulls in and shit. Like, it's fucking incredible.
I think you said it goes like hard R for some of the action in that. I think I saw you write that on Twitter.
Yeah, it goes like horror movie R, like where I'm just like,
That's cool.
"Whoa, dude!" Like. So yeah, like it kind of sheds that any sort of like that kiddie feel at all. Although it is very much a superhero show. Like the plot of the second season is entirely like around Elektra and Punisher. They each have like their kind of own plots that run through the whole season. I just finished it up tonight. It was, dude, that's a fantastic show. I'm sad that I don't have any more episodes now.
Well, should get more Jessica Jones over the summer and
You are gonna love. Is it John Bernthal? Is that his name?
yeah, they got the guy from Walking Dead who played
Yeah.
Shane, right?
I always forget if it's John or Joe, but you're gonna fucking love him as Punisher. And oh God, I can't wait for him to have his own show. It's so good.
Which seems to be how they're operating with this, right? Because like Luke Cage is getting his own show,
Yeah.
so I mean I could see them doing like a Punisher show and like. I don't think Elektra is very exciting as a character, but maybe they give her a show too, so.
She gets more like, all right, 'cause I don't know her origins and I don't know how they're in the comics. I don't want to get in spoilers now, but once you find out her origins, you're like, oh, that's pretty interesting. Plus, whoever's playing her, oh my God, dude. Woo.
So it's not a who the fuck, Ben Affleck's ex-wife.
No, I mean, this girl is, you'll see,
Jennifer
you're gonna.
Garner, yeah. Jennifer Garner played her in the movies like what a decade ago.
Yeah, and she's not like, anything awful, but like, yeah, you're gonna be happy, Chris. You're gonna be
Good.
very happy.
Does Rosario Dawson return for season two?
She does, and
She's really good.
someone you might not expect from season one makes an appearance. I don't want to say because I don't know where you're at, and I kind of know where you're at, but I don't want to say. There's a few appearances, and then there's a couple of appearances from Jessica Jones that like. They do a really good job of like just tangentially people will show up from the two shows. Let's put it
That's
that way.
cool. I mean, they exist in the same area
Yeah.
of New York,
The
so
same
that's
like two
cool.
block area of New
Yeah.
York.
So everything fucking goes to shit in Hell's Kitchen.
Like they act like it's like this big ass like city, but like yeah, New York is, but Hell's Kitchen is like, what is it, like
The
four
neighborhood,
blocks, right? It's
right?
like a really small neighborhood and they act like it's like, we gotta protect this city, Hell's Kitchen. But whatever, dude. It's fun entertainment. Really fun.
Well, I will get to that at some point. I gotta finish up season one and
Yeah,
then
you'll probably
finish
start
up.
to burn. I see you burn through season two, dude. You're gonna love the
Yeah, I'm
Punisher.
probably not gonna jump right into season two. I'll finish up
Give
Jessica
yourself a
Jones
breather.
first, but
Get a little breather.
yeah, well, just I'll watch Jessica Jones and finish that up and then jump into it. So I'm watching Bosch on Amazon as well, which is pretty
Oh, that's
cool.
right. What is that even?
Crime drama, following a detective. It's like a long, it's 10 episodes long, and it follows like an entire case that he runs. It's written by Michael Connelly. It's based on a series of novels that he's written. It takes place in LA. It's cool. We'll talk about it next week, though.
All right.
I might be on season two by that point. So.
All right. So yeah, we're gonna definitely talk Spotlight next week. We'll talk Bosch. Any other movies that you you're gonna see in that time?
I wanted to watch Spy last weekend, so maybe I'll watch that this weekend.
Okay.
And Spotlight, and my kids got the Peanuts movie for Easter, so maybe I'll watch that.
I'm gonna probably be a week behind you on it, but yeah, I'm excited.
All right, so we'll wait to talk about that till after
yeah.
it. So.
I will. Besides what we already mentioned, I'm gonna see Trumbo, starring Bryan Cranston.
Okay.
It's kind of cool. Like, I don't know a whole lot about that movie, but I've been listening to this podcast about old Hollywood lately, so it's gonna like nicely be like tie like be a nice tie into that or whatever.
Right.
Have you ever heard of this podcast? It's called You Must Remember This.
No.
You should check it out, dude. It's pretty interesting. She does whole season long stories about old Hollywood. Like, one whole season she does is about Charles Manson. So, but like right now she's doing the Blacklist era, which Trumbo is about. So
okay.
But I'm gonna rewatch Steve Jobs. We don't really need to talk about that again. I'm just throwing it out there and rewatching that. So that's the only thing I have for sure on my plate for the next week or so.
All right. So we got a lot coming up then.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we'll be back next week then.
All right. Do bleed.
Movie dudes.
Do 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 do.